greetings, dear church. You know, when we hear about the war, we usually see the horrors and we think of bad things. And we do not understand often why it's happening, but there are often causes to war. And our war is because Ukraine is just such a beautiful place. And there are so many special things happening all the centuries before this war and before others' wars. And we would like to present it in a very artistic and creative way so you would understand what we really fight for and why it's important to win. And this is a nice opportunity for you to invite your unchurched friends, because many people, they may want to go out on Saturday night somewhere nicely to spend time. So it will not be something only about tragedy, but it will be also about beauty. There will be some food, there will be some dance, some songs. So please invite your neighbors, people with Ukrainian roots, anybody who you think may enjoy this time. This is a perfect opportunity for the churches, for the people to make a bridge to the church, you know, if they've been disconnected or they think church is a little bit too boring and not interesting, you know, just kind of invite them and it will be nice to them to come next Sunday. So please, there are some posters and they're available. Maybe you have bulletin board somewhere. You can pin it and invite people in this way too. Okay, so my name is Olina. I'm from Ukraine and I'm from Kyiv. And I'm going to share a story of my life. My testimony. Pastor Barry asked me to share my testimony. I was like, not many people ask me to share my testimony, though it's quite interesting. And when I was praying to the Lord, I say, Lord, why? I felt like he spoke to me that the testimony is a part of our battle, right? Remember that they won the battle with the blood of the Lamb, with the word of the testimony, and because they didn't love their life, right? So this is part of the battle. And I believe, right, while you'll be hearing something, there will be battle going on. And I believe this is the battle for the next generation. You know, it makes me always sad to see that there are many adults and there are fewer kids and very few youth. And I know there was crisis. There was crisis in Canada, in Europe. We've been traveling after the war started, like 20 countries. And we see older generation like presented in church and younger numbers decrease. And this is a problem because the Lord, he said, I'm the Lord of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, like three generations, right? Three generations together. It's very important. So I want you to hear my testimony as a hope for you to get your loved ones of any generation saved. You know, when I was saved in my family, I was the first one to be really converted. My parents were in Orthodox Church. I didn't have kids yet, but I had my sister. I was the first one. But I stand on that word, that believe in Jesus Christ, you and your family will be saved. And the Lord did it. And I want you really, just when we start going through my journey, connect yourself to all these pieces so you also be effective and blessed. So this is our family. 5 years ago, it's very difficult for us to make family pictures because we are many and some of us don't like take pictures. So this is an older picture. This is a newer picture with two are missing who are already to Turkey doing some mission work. But this is the question that comes to my mind every morning and every night and every day, what I'm doing here. Because I didn't plan to come to Nanaimo. This is the end of the world for me. Maybe for you it's the beginning of the world, but this is the end, right? It's like, where further? There is nothing further. It's like emptiness, right? It's like the last point, and we are here. What am I doing here? And every time I'm asking the Lord, but before I share my answers that I have, I want to share my story. Where I was born in a different country than Ukraine. I was born in Soviet Union. I made my oath to Lenin twice. When I was 7, when I was 11, I was brainwashed from the kindergarten to like 13 when the Soviet Union was broken down and then we kind of didn't know what to believe. I was wearing this star with Lenin and I was giving oath with this red tie. And actually Lenin was something like Jesus. you know, we would have pictures of Lenin and children and pictures of Lenin and poor workers and blah, 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 you know. So he was like a real idol and we are really giving him all our respect. And I was hearing this in school every day, you know, like from the morning, you know, we don't have so much political things given to kids here. I'm working in SEA in one of the schools, so I know that you don't do so much, you don't give so much politics to kids, but we were fed politics like weekly. We had a political information lesson every week since the age 7, you know. So in this circumstances, I was told there is no God, like over and over and over. You know, and my teacher would say, those who believe in God, they're the most selfish people. They're the worst people. It was kind of, they really wanted to make sure that the kids would never believe there is God. But I had two grandmas on both sides who would tell me about Jesus. Praise the Lord. They continued to tell me, not much, just a little bit, just when we would go to bed, I remember those few talks, or when we would celebrate Easter and Christmas, and they would talk to me about Jesus and God. My grandmas, one of them, were living in this kind of village. There were homes like this. Our home was different, but there were still homes like this, and we would make bread like this, an Easter bread. So this is all, you would understand what culture I'm from, right? We had all these old traditional things. Our houses looked like this. I still use this to take the water out. And I know how to operate this bake, like oven, right? So it's all very traditional, very Ukrainian. And these are the icons that literally were in my grandparents' homes where I started to pray to Jesus. Why I tell you this? Because doesn't matter that Canada may be now a secular country, or that maybe the kids are being told just all kinds of things. Nothing matters. God works in his chosen, in their hearts, from the very little age. And they need just to hear a little bit for the faith to be increased and become alive. So my prayer started, I wasn't in Protestant church, no Protestant pastor told me what I need to do. I just kind of realized that these are where God is. And I started to pray before. And because I didn't know the prayers, I started to talk to God. I was like 11, 12, this was I started. And once a year, we have this tradition when we would go to celebrate Easter Sunday, but you need to stand the whole night, stand and listen to this Orthodox priest to say something that you never understand word. And then you meet the sunrise Sunday, and he goes with the water and he sanctifies your breaths and you. And so I was doing this several times in my childhood, maybe like 5 or 7 times. But those 4 to 6 hours for me as a girl standing made me think about God, like what I was doing there. I could not do anything. I would just stand there, you know, like, why I stand here? Where is God? Who is God? Who is Jesus? Who is on those pictures? And that's why I want you really to encourage, to understand there is spirit in each child. And you don't need to all the time entertain your children. Often it's enough just for them to be somewhere where they can think about God. You know, I see how much time parents in Canada, teachers in Canada, they invest all the time to entertain, to make it fun, to make it, they run and move and sports are so popular. That is all good. But we have spirits, we have souls. And these are also very important parts of who we are. And they need to be in some situation, they need to be somewhere where they can connect. So I was connecting there too. And you know, sometimes, because we work in Turkey now, I believe some people connecting to God in mosques, in anywhere. You know, it doesn't matter for God where he starts to touch the person's heart to impose that faith. I know you have First Nations here. They have their own beliefs. You know, I've been talking to many, and they're also connecting to God, even through all these interesting things they believe in. So I was praying. I started to pray. This is my actually trip to Jerusalem last year. I was there just before the war broke up, like 1.5 months before, and both in Palestine and Jerusalem. And I don't know if you know the story of all these holy places. Just a little note for you. There was this one mom who came to the Lord when she was 60, the mom of Emperor Constantine, who kind of spent her life researching where those stones might be where Jesus was born on, because Jesus was born in a cave on stones, and that manger was not from the wood, but it was a stone manger. And also he was laid on the stone. So basically she found those places and she built up around them, and people from all over the world, they come there. And I've noticed the people I was with, it was a cruise, they were not like religious people, but I could see how much those stones meant for them and how the Lord was touching. So actually, the Lord is ready to find people anywhere and anytime. You know, we may think, oh, we need to bring a person to the church for him to find the Lord. No, he's not limited to that. He can find them anywhere. He can connect. He's alive. He can go into everybody's heart. I want you to ask to look at the scripture and think. This is from Acts 17. It's a part of it. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall. It's about nations, but it's also about people. And he determined their boundaries. And every time when I think about this question, what I'm doing in Nanaimo, I'm like, maybe my boundary was that far. You know, it started in Ukraine, went through all these countries, and went even to this place. He determined, he decided the times when we are born. They decided the times for our kids to be born, for our grandchildren, so they get to know him, so they get connected to him. This is the whole scripture. You know, when we talk to somebody, you need to understand, we are such a valuable resource in God's eyes. If we are talking to somebody, it's not by chance. It has been so many things have been put in order, so we have this few minutes to talk to somebody, to share that light. And a little light is enough for lots of darkness to leave. So those times, those moments, they're very important. With your friends, with your children, with your grandchildren, with the children of your neighbors, please believe that, like you, what you want the most to happen in your life, maybe to live peacefully and not to have pay any bills. I don't know what's your best desire for this life, but God's best desire for this life is to get saved as many people as possible. Because if they're not saved, the whole eternity, he will hear. He will hear the cry, why you didn't save us? Why you were not good to us? Why you didn't come for us? Why you're not kind? Why we're suffering in this hell? God will hear, and he already hears many of these cries. So his heart is so much for people to get saved, them, to connect to them in any ways, anyhow. So if you understand this and connect to God, he will use you in like tremendously. It's not difficult for him to save people. It's very easy. So please remember about this. So this word beforehand, please apply to yourself. He already prepared you. And maybe it looks for you that it maybe was a long time of preparation. Anyway, he knows what he wants to do. Ask him, talk to him, and live in that. This also my prayer time. I've been praying a lot outside, and I know you like to go hiking. I already learned about Canadians that it's the best dream to go hiking and climbing somewhere. So it's a good time to connect and have some testimony time there. So just make sure you don't do it only alone all the time. Get some people with you. This is where actually I got converted and I first prayed the prayer. What do you think this is? School. This is the school. This is my school where YWAM team, Youth with a Mission team, came when the walls fall down. They shared the gospel. They like shared the gospel from the stage, and they made an altar call and asked who wants to be saved. It was like, you know, like a year ago we were told there is no God, and now there is this YWAM on the stage of the school inviting us for altar call, and I was one of the first. Then probably lots of other kids came to the stage, but this is where, how far God can go. and you know, in any time, and it's unpredictable. So when I was 15, I was called to missions. Why were we always talk about missions? So I was in the camp, and I received this calling that the Lord calls me to the nations. I was so sure, I was 15, that I will go and I will preach in different nations to different people. It's at the time when the iron curtain just was lifted up, but we were not traveling. Our salary, like my mom's salary, was $20 a month. You know, like what was 1995, 94? Very little money back then, even for anybody. So why I wanted to share this with you also this age is to understand that many people who are young today, God has, and who are somehow connected to the church, probably they are the leaders for something in the future. And probably you are talking to the leader. And if it's your child, your grandchild, if he has already the first foundation of believers like Abraham Foundation or Isaac, it's probably that he'll be somewhere a leader, or God wants him to be. So make sure you encourage that and you see that and ask the Lord to open your eyes. When I was 17, the Lord spoke to me, Turkey is my destination place. I went there for mission trip, and I was crying when I heard this because my first experience of Turkey was very dramatic, very traumatic, because I was blonde. I am blonde now. I'm a little bit gray, but a young girl in Turkey, blonde, lots of troubles. And my condition to the Lord was, I want to be married to do that. I cannot do that alone because there was so much attention. I was threatened to be kidnapped as somebody's wife at my first mission trip. So, no, Lord, my, and you met already Igor. I got married when I was 18 and a half. And he's, when he proposed to me, he was also very eager to get married. I don't know why we wanted to get married as early as possible. Nobody does it now, or very few. Anyway, his condition was, if you go with me to Turkey for missions, then we can get married. You know, this is what I was interested in. And he said, well, I don't care. I'll go anywhere. So, yes. So here we are. With the literally ticket one way. Ticket. This is we came to Turkey. One way, I was already pregnant with Ilona, 4 months. I don't advise anybody to repeat it, but we were so crazy. We just prayed to the Lord what to do. We felt like we should go to Turkey. We went to Turkey. We felt like we need to find Turkish family to live with. We knew few believers, like American believers. There were not many Turkish believers, maybe like few in that city. Izmir is Smyrna, by the way, one of the seven churches of Revelation. And they said, there is no way you can live with Turkish people. They never take you in. We say, well, we have no money for rent. So they must take us in. And we have no money to go back. So this was interesting to test God. But in 1 week, we got the Turkish family that agreed to host us. And we stayed there for 3 months. This is our, I don't know what, number trip to Turkey with Ilona. She's 1 year old, but she started when she was 6 months old. And we have 6 kids, and all of them, they joined in our mission. So the baby arrives, goes to the mission trip, and all these little ones. It was a very fun thing to do together as a family, to do missions, because when children grow in the mission field, they see their parents minister, they obviously learn something. And so we were not so much. We really believe that we must seek first the kingdom of God and don't think about things like money, things. So literally we were living in 2 suitcases. I don't know how, where we had faith for that, but we did that. So one more, right? Again, we're in Turkey. So then we moved in and lived there. So our kids went to Turkish school. We taught them to lie. It means like not to say your parents are missionaries. But make something like we learn and we study in university. Igor was going to university, or we like tourists. So every time they needed to say something else, but not to say that their parents are missionaries in Turkey. So that's funny. Yeah, this is another some of our Turkish friends, and this is in Konya, actually very tough Turkish place. It's where Paul was stoned, still tough. But we went to people we don't know to stay overnight. So many different things were happening. We've been arrested, so we've done that too. Arrested for Jesus. I don't know, do you have it on your wish list? But we've done it. And fun and scary. Anyway, before the war, I just want to rewind. I don't want to tell you the whole story of my life. Just before the war, what we were. I was running the school that we've planted without money, teachers, students, just with the idea that we need to have a school for our kids. And from that little idea, this is what we were. The Lord provided for everything. It was very nice to be a principal of the Christian school. We had people saved there, healed. Kids would come from the government school, broken from bullying, and we could make them straight. It was such a good project. You know, I loved it. My kids were working and studying, like older kids were working in the school. Younger kids were studying in the school. It was such so good. You know, life was so, like, full of victory of Christ. You know, you're like, yes, Lord, yes, your words, they came true. You know, this is our ratio is how we managing the school, that 30% of people, they were paying the price, full price, and 30% half, and we had 40% of students who were free of charge. It's like moms who had no, like, husband, single moms could send their kids to us, and so on. So we were like, really, yes, Lord, we're just doing your kingdom of God thing, and so on. So this is how the school looked. See, very happy faces, very nice, like really something I loved with all my heart. Our teachers, beautiful, beautiful kids. And then the war came, and all of that came zero in one day. In one day. Who we were, what we achieved, the homes my parents built. Like, they made sure to provide for their older age. So they had like 3 apartments, a home outside of Kiev, like just everything brand new, you know, like, we decided everything for ourselves, for our kids, and even for our grandkids. And we lose it all and become like, we don't know what we become. You know, we don't have our things with us. We cannot use our vehicles. Who we are? Like zero, you know? It's like, what you are? You like come to zero. We don't know where to go. We don't know how even to connect together, because it was when the war started, me, Igor, and our 2 older girls, we were in Dubai. And Aslan and 4 younger kids, my mom and dad, they were in Kiev under shelling. And just all this time to connect together and then to know where to go. We were waiting, we were hoping that the world somehow will react and will say to Putin, no, 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 don't do that, it's a bad thing, and the war will stop. So we were hoping, we were waiting in Turkey for that. Then we went to Germany, we waited for the... And then we understood, no, we need somehow to do something about the lives, to give education to our kids, because German was not best choice. We couldn't learn it. Me and Igor said, I'm not learning, like, it would be 5th language for us. We speak Russian, Ukrainian, Turkish, English, and German would be 5th. And he said, I'm too old. So let's go to Canada. And so here we are in Nanaimo. Why? Because it's warm. Because the person that initially wanted to host us, he canceled the tickets. He bought the tickets, and then next day he canceled. He said, no, I don't feel I should host you. I feel like, what do we do now? And anyway, it was a long things, like the circumstances looked like a long range that led us to this place. And here we are. But what I see, and I want this really for you to go in your hearts, for gifts and the call of God, they are irrevocable. Like, nothing can change them. Even war, even that you lose everything, nothing can change them. Who I am now, I cannot post Nanaimo Christian School pictures, so I posted pictures from my school, but I am again with kids. Yes, I am EA, but I again can minister to my kids. I again can tell them about the love of God, and of course supporting their education, but I can do what I can do, and plus there are all other things that we are involved with, like serving First Nations in youth group and so on, many, many things that the Lord kind of restored. And what I realized, nothing matters besides that eternal gift that he placed in our hearts. All those other circumstances, they're nothing, really. So my encouragement to all of you, if you really believe who God is, like that he's almighty, that he's awesome, love, and you are his royal children, if you really believe that, then let's get to kingdom business. I understand you need to pay bills. I already learned it in Canada that you cannot live without money. In Ukraine, we could live without money for many months. And several times we had this. But here, you go into debt and it's like a snowball. So I understand the pressure here. We are under that pressure too. But still, the Word of God is the Word of God. And he gave us so many things to do. And he said to us that if we seek the kingdom of God first, the other things will be resolved for us. And I want us to really look back for his commission, for his commandments. And especially I feel today that I want to have some time of ministry to pass on something to you so you can win next generation for the Lord. I know some of you, you may lose all hope and you think, I don't know what else to say. That's true. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. I don't know what to say to my kids every day. I don't know. It should be something the Lord puts in my heart. He needs to operate that gift. You don't need to know from your own who you are. The Lord must do it in you by his Holy Spirit. But believe me, this is his plan, to get all generations connected to him. And who knows if there will be other person in his life, in her life, besides you, who would be a bridge to that kingdom of God. You know, I was reading once, it was like a book, I don't remember the author, but he described, you know, the situation when after life, like after death, there is this life, right, eternal life, and father and son, they meet together. And they depart because the father, he can go to the kingdom. You know, angels take them to the kingdom, but the son can't. And can you imagine enjoying the heavens without your children and grandchildren? You know, can you imagine? I don't know. For me, I would not enjoy it fully. I want all of my family there. That's why they're all here in church. You know, I'm very, you know, ask them how many times I told them, you know, if you don't do that, you may go to hell. And I really believe that. I was crying. I said, please. They say, Mom, are you crazy? I said, yes, I'm crazy because I want to. They laugh because it's true. You know, there were times when the Lord spoke to me not to preach to anybody, to anybody. For 3 years, I was not preaching to anybody. But I would put my kids on the couch daily and I would preach to them. Until they really get it, that it is so very important. You know, it's not that I love them. I gave everything I have to them. You know, it's not that there is no like relationships. But I really believe with all of my heart, the time is short. You know, those kids we were teaching in Ukraine, in school, we had about like 40 every year. So some people came and left. But anyway, they are now maybe in 20 countries. We had those 5 years to prepare them for this future. That who knew that some will end up in Spain, some will end up in States, others in Canada, in Germany. You know, it was like seeds that God threw on the world. And how it was important. And I realized all those lessons that we were teaching. Praise God, I was not under the pressure of Ukrainian government program, you know, and I could really speak to my teachers and I say, okay, 40% academic, 60% of Christian values, and really make sure that they understand, like, understand important things. And my teachers were serving there. They were ministering the things of God to kids. They connected. There were families that were not churched at all, but when they would come, they say, you have divine presence. They could feel. You know, we had people who are unchurched, but we prayed with them, we ministered to them. People are open. If it is a life God that you have, not like religion, people will take it. So I want to encourage you to connect. And now I want to have a ministry time. We'll have a common prayer. But then, we have 1 minute, then you leave, who needs to leave. And those who want to have a personal touch, we'll be passing on our gifts. I feel like my family and I want to pass on the gifts the gifts to minister to the whole family, to the younger generation. So we'll have Aslan praying, who he'll pray for those who want to minister to young men. And my girls will pray for those who want to minister to young women, girls, children. And I will be praying whoever who wants to minister for the whole family. But we want to pass on the gifts to you because, you know, through our hands we can pass on gifts. This is biblical, right? So we'll pass on what we have. Let's pray. Dear Lord, dear God, we really believe that you are who you are, that you are King of Kings and you are Lord of Lords. And forgive us, Lord, for not keeping that in our memory first thing every day of our lives. We forget, we get disconnected. But Lord, you know us and you still chose us. And I pray, Lord, that you would touch everybody in this room. You would touch with this special gift of faith to really get connected to you so we can connect all others around us. Especially I pray for the connection of children and grandchildren. Lord, I pray they would be connected to the body of Christ, that there would be this life streaming from here into them, Lord, for your spirit to reviving them, Lord, in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, you would help us in this and you would start this process and it will never end. I pray, Lord, you would put us on fire and nobody can ever seize that fire in Jesus' name, Lord. Bless this church and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.